This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Lots going on in the college football world, though, and it centers a lot around the Pac-12 and what's going to happen with this player movement. Or are they going to boycott? Which is, what the hell is going on? Kyle Bonagura, our friend of ESPN, give him a follow on Twitter, at Bonagura, ESPN, college football writer for ESPN.com, joining us now. Kyle, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate talking to you. I'm curious what the latest is. I saw you reporting yesterday that there was going to be some dialogue between the two sides last night, the player movement and Larry Scott. What are we hearing about how that went, and just what's the latest on the Pac-12 and their player unity?
Yeah, so thanks for having me, as always. My understanding of the call last night was it was fairly productive as a first step for these two sides to kind of get on the same page with what they both would like to accomplish. So the call started about 8 p.m. last night. It was, you know, Zoom video conference. There were 12 student-athletes representing the Pac-12. My understanding is it was one student from every school. Mm-hmm. They talked about everything that was outlined in the Players' Tribune letter that was published Sunday. I'm sure you've talked about that at some point this week. And really kind of went step by step through the list of demands they submitted, and kind of expressed kind of where they stood and how important each issue was. And I think the Pac-12's point of view is that a lot of what was raised in both an email to Larry Scott and what was laid out in the Players Tribune article was a lot of things that have already been addressed by the Pac-12. And you got to give the Pac-12 credit where it's due. They have been ahead of the curve nationally with a lot of these issues. They've involved the Pac-12 in their governance structure for about 5 years now. They mm-hmm. do have some of the more advanced COVID protocols that have been implemented in college football. So I think the Pac-12 went in, wanted to kind of, make it clear that they agreed with a lot of what the players wanted, and then they were actively pursuing a lot of those things. The real, the point of contention, and it was discussed last night, it was not, my understanding, a very lengthy part of the call, was the economic demands that the players mm-hmm. made. And, but I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, they sought 50% of the revenue generated to be distributed, redistributed to athletes of the various sports in the conference. And for the Pac-12, that's just really a non-starter. And they expressed how that would, it goes against the kind of the model of the universities and what their missions are. And they weren't going to, the Pac-12 made it clear that they weren't going to entertain any of those demands that the student athletes included. So what'll be interesting now is to understand, okay, now that the Pac-12 has made its stance clear on those issues, how important are they to the student athletes? And that's where there's going to be, that's where it's we'll kind of have to sit back and wait to see how they respond, because that issue is more important to some student athletes than others. There's a lot of them, in my understanding, is the majority of the players in the conference, the other issues that were raised, health and safety, racial equality issues, things of that nature, are really the most important thing that they're going after. You saw the Big Ten follow suit, right, and they didn't even include the economic demands, right? They just centered their focus on those other issues. And it kind of felt like they threw the economic stuff as a kind of an add-on, right? It's hard to organize a group of people, especially on different college campuses, that age group where it's, the rosters are turning over so quickly from year to year. So if there was ever a time to try to go after economic demands, it would, you know, it kind of feels like this might have been it while you had everyone unified in a, against, you know, in the direction of a certain cause, right? Mm-hmm. But in talking with a few sources today about how the call went, I don't think that that's going to really factor into how this thing plays out moving forward.
Interesting. Yeah, we're talking with Kyle Bonagura of ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. Yeah, we saw that. And I think the initial thought was, how much do they believe this and how much of it is a bargaining chip just to use to get the other things that they want? I saw Dabo Swinney come out, which was kind of weird because I believe a couple of years ago he said he would quit if they ever paid players. But I think he had a take basically saying that if you do the revenue split, it's fine, but you got to like tie it to college graduation. Was there any demand on, or not demand, but any ask on how they would get that revenue? Like, how would that be distributed to football players, other athletes? Like, did they make any specifics about how that would actually work?
No. So the discussion about the economics didn't get that deep. It was basically the Pac-12 shut it down from the start. And, which was the expectation. The players were already aware that there's another student athlete group called SALT, which is the Student Athlete Leadership Team. And that was created in 2015. It's part of the Pac-12's governance structure. So, you know, with major decisions that the conference is making, they try to loop in the students who are a part of that group. That group met with Larry Scott on Wednesday. And in that call, Larry made it clear that it was a non-starter and they weren't going to entertain economic demand. So the unity group knew going in yesterday where the Pac-12 stood on that. And I think going in, they made the decision to focus on the other things. And so while it's certainly possible that they could come back next week when their sides are set to continue their discussions, that they maybe have a different approach with the economic stuff. Maybe they do, you know, set a firmer foot down and try to get some of that stuff. My expectation is that that's probably not going to happen, but they certainly didn't discuss any mechanisms for the way that that would be structured.
You mentioned the health and safety angle of it being the bulk of the call between the players and the conference. And I did notice when Larry Scott sent out his response, he had those bullet points. And, you know, one of them was like, we want the ability to keep our scholarship if we opt out, which is something that you mentioned the Pac-12 has already granted them even before they asked for it in this movement. What's the sense you're getting on how wide the gap is on those health and safety protocols and how far, if you've heard anything on it, the Pac-12 is willing to go their direction in terms of like health benefits after college and at, you know, a third party observer, all that kind of stuff? How wide is that gap right now?
So I don't think the gap is really that wide. I think that the Pac-12 has actually done a pretty good job with a lot of those things. And it really just, my kind of view, and I could be wrong on this, but based on a lot of conversations I've had with people about it, is that like a lot of the players, it was just never communicated very well what the protocols are. And they hear, you know, second and third hand information about what's going on at other schools. Mm-hmm. And if you read all of these statements, it's like, we're very happy with the protocols in place at our school. However, we're concerned about the other schools. And so I think it's poor communication is a lot of this, right? And I think last night provided a valuable step in explaining the process for settling on what the return to play processes were. And let's be clear, they're not perfect, right? This is clearly, you know, moving forward with the season, it's clearly about money, right? We saw today that, you know, the Big Sky Conference officially announced that it was moving to a spring model. It's the 7th or 8th. FCS conference that has done the same. Mm-hmm. If this wasn't about money, if safety was the number one priority, the FBS schools would have already made the same decision. The financial component for the FCS schools is so different that they were able to push things, you know, completely cancel things or push things to the spring because they just don't have as much to lose financially. There's so much that these other the Power Five schools and the other FBS programs have financially to lose. It's tougher for them to reach that step. So I think there is a clear disconnect between what the players feel is prioritized and how it's been communicated to them. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I'll tell you what, as optimistic as some of the coaches and athletic directors and commissioners and those types have tried to be publicly over the last few weeks, the more and more I talk with people, the more pessimistic I am that, you know, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about how the season is canceled.
Yeah, Kyle Bonagura, our guest, ESPN.com, college football writer. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Bonagura, ESPN. I think it's interesting you mentioned the players all saying that they feel good about the way their health and safety is handled at their school. They're worried about the other players, because I saw the announcement on Sunday, and then immediately like Oregon and Oregon State players were tweeting, no, but we're doing it right at Oregon. And it's just kind of like, okay, it's a little unique.
Exactly. I'm
curious what you've heard just from other schools around the conference. There was originally that UCLA story that they, you know, didn't want to show up without a third party present, but then it felt like that was a little overblown and guys came out and defended Chip Kelly. We had the Arizona player getting kicked off. And I bring this up because we've had two stories recently, the Colorado State one, which is just weird because of the allegations anonymously, and then the players coming out and saying that's not true. But then you had the Virginia Tech player, whose name escapes me, who's a first-round pick, sitting out, and he basically did an interview saying that I showed up to the weight room and there was hundreds of kids in there and there was no mask, no distancing, like they weren't taking it seriously. What are you hearing about outside of Oregon and Oregon State, because it seems like both of them are saying everything's being handled correctly, about how the rest of the Pac-12 schools are taking this health and safety protocols?
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixed bag. I don't know of any specific situations right now in the Pac-12 other than, you know, the UCLA and the Arizona ones that you mentioned. But over the last couple of weeks, there hasn't been anything to indicate that there are blatant problems with the protocol. And, you know, that could be wrong, of course. Like, it's really hard to say without being on those campuses and monitoring closely every day. Mm-hmm. But you haven't seen anyone speak out in a few weeks about anything specifically on a Pac-12 campus. And until someone brings something to light, you'd like to give, you know, the campuses the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I've read all of the protocols that the schools are using. They seem like they're well-reasoned. I've had several discussions with epidemiologists around the country over the past few months about proper return-to-play protocols. And, you know, I really do believe that the college athletic programs are doing about as well as you can do. You're not going to eliminate risk altogether, of course, but, you know, I think there is a clear effort to do this as well as possible. And then obviously there'll be differing opinions on what is enough and is it worth it and all those things. I don't want to speculate on that because I'm not a doctor, right? But I do believe that the schools are utilizing the resources as best they can to provide as good an atmosphere as possible.
Are you sure you're not a doctor? I thought we all became one during COVID. That's the sense I get on Twitter. I think we're all epidemiologists now. We got our official degrees. You're hearing from sources on this. They're meeting again, as you mentioned, next week. Just what's your gut tell you? I believe if my numbers and dates are correct, I think like August 17th is somewhere around when some fall camps are supposed to open up for Pac-12 programs, if they're allowed to in their state. So this is, I mean, they got to kind of get going here. What's your read tell you on where they go from here and how this unity movement versus Larry Scott thing plays out in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a great feel for it because it's just, I mean, it feels like news changes so quickly in this new COVID world we're all living in. But I think that the Pac-12 will make the necessary concessions or communicate things effectively to a point where I don't think that you're going to see like a full-scale walkout by like hundreds of players. I think you're 100% going to continue to see individual players opt out, and that'll probably happen at every school in the conference and really across the country. We're seeing more and more names pop up every day. So I think that's probably the most likely way it's going to pop up, unless something really happens to make the discussions between the conference and the student group more combative. I don't think we'll see a point where it's a full-scale walkout, which would be kind of a, you know, the one extreme. You can't completely write that out as a possibility, but I mean, a lot would have to change between where we are today on, you know, August 7th to get to that point.
Yeah, great stuff. Kyle Bonagura, go give him a follow on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. He's on top of this back and forth between the conference and the players, written some great pieces on it here in the last couple of days. Kyle, thanks as always, man. We love chatting with you in Portland, and we'll have to catch up here soon as this thing continues to evolve.
Sure, thanks. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.